Okay, today, in our last lesson on follow-up, again, we are going to be dealing with follow-up tools, only this week we're going to be doing it in relationship to disciples rather than converts. Last time we got together, we looked at certain objectives and then certain tools, and then we had this little, what I called ETS follow-up guide. And we're going to do the same thing now today in relationship to a disciple. And the first thing I would like for us to do is to go back and to look at the objectives for a disciple. You'll remember that in our last one, we had two objectives for the convert. One is for that person to be born again into the family of God and be a child of God. And then the second had to do with his walk in Christ. And today, now we're going on, and our objective standard for a disciple is a little higher. And the first one has to do with making Jesus the Lord of his life. At a convert, he is the Savior, and now it needs to go on and to grow to an understanding where he is a disciple. And remember, we talked about that disciple as being one who is a learner and adopts the lifestyle and the philosophy of his teacher. And this is what Jesus had in mind for us, where he said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. And now as a disciple of Christ, there must come that denying of that old way and that old nature, and pick up the cross and now daily begin to follow Jesus. We see the same thing being expressed for us again in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies that living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then that person not only needs to make Christ Lord, but he needs to begin to be established in Christ. And we see this establishing taking place in John 8:31, where Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then also to be established in Christ means that we begin to get some kind of an understanding about the objectives that God has for our life in terms of the Great Commission, that we have been commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. And then as a disciple of Jesus Christ, at this point, he ought to be catching that vision in terms of the Great Commission. But then in reality, the way that needs to be lived out is that he becomes a fisher of men. Because we're told in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. And we have got to be involved in sharing the gospel with other people. Or it's expressed for us a little differently in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3, where he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have got to be working at sharing our faith with other people, drawing them into that fellowship with Christ. And then as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we also need to be serving in the body. And over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And Jesus came to serve, and as a disciple, we also then must be willing to serve him and the body of Christ. Now, if we can get those simple things going in his life, basically about four of them, that that will be enough for us to work on in this stage. Remember, we talked about people, first of all, being young children, and then they become what? Young men and then they become fathers, and then they become disciples or disciple makers, because as a father they've reproduced themselves in the lives of other people. Now, some practical suggestions. You've gotten this person started. You have taken them all the way through that ETS convert profile and are now going to begin on that discipleship profile. And you've got to keep that person going once you've gotten them started. And so again, I'm going to suggest to you in that guide the structured pattern that you might follow with that individual, along with a accompanying set of materials that would go with that. But I want to come back to the four relationships that we talked about and how they're important. And for the convert, we said that the two most important were in terms of the structured and the
recreational.
Thank you. That recreational, that this, you know, isn't just kind of all work and no play, but that he needs to learn that there is now another way to be able to express himself and to have fun, but that fun and the expression of it honors Christ rather than detracts from him. But then in this disciple stage, we not only want to keep the recreational and the structure going, but then there's got to be that casual where we are getting together from time to time with him as an individual, and we work on some of the problems and the things that we see that we can't do in terms of the group, because that recreational and structure at this point could still be in a group context, but there's got to be that man-to-man or man-to-man time that takes place. And then also, at this point, we should begin to see that partnership form where we join together now and go out and begin to build the kingdom of God as this person learns how to share the gospel with other people and develops his testimony, that we can begin to team up and he goes with me. And perhaps the best example the motivation is going to come as I involve him in a ministry and he sees, well, that's not so hard at all, and working with them. Because as we do that, he is going to develop skill, and that skill, of course, can't come just in the classroom, but out there in the actual battlefield. And then, of course, by doing this, I'm pace-setting, which is one of those motivational factors where follow me, and then he learns by watching the master at work, and he sees you. And you may not consider yourself to be a master, but you know more than he does, and as far as he's concerned, you are a real master at that. But again, at this point, do not let that recreational fall by the wayside. Now, what I'm going to do, I don't have the papers in here, but I'm going to go through this ETS guide for helping a disciple, and then I'm going to give these to you in your homework assignment, so you're just going to have to kind of bear with me as we go through that. Or John, turn that off and I'll get the papers so you can look at it, I think. But in that ETS follow-up guide, if you'll turn to that, and it looks like this.
What says ETS on?
Yeah, it says ETS at the top. So now we're going to look at this ETS follow-up guide. And there's a place for the trainer and the trainee, and you write his name in there. And then it says, I, the trainer, am currently praying daily for the individual. And again, through your prayers, you will be able to do more for them than anything else. Then second, He has made a major lordship of Christ's decision for his life, either in a group meeting with others or after discussing appropriate scriptures like Matthew 6:33 and Luke 9:27 with me personally. But somewhere that person has got to decide to make Christ Lord. He's made him Savior. And you need to work on that as quickly as possible, perhaps even while that person is still in that convert stage. This man who got me to read the Gospel of John 5 times, no one had to ask me to make Jesus Lord. As I read through that 5 times, I realized that God's intention was that Jesus should be the Lord of my life, not just the Savior. And I got down on my knees by the side of my bed, and I committed my life to Jesus Christ. And from that day to this, I cannot think of one day in almost 25 years that Jesus Christ has not been the Lord of my life, nor me his servant. And the burning desire of my heart has not been to follow him. But I am convinced again, you know, that there came that day where there was the anchoring of that. And then I've gone back and I've reaffirmed that many times over. I remember in the early days when I used to be around the navigators, and I don't know whether they do this in America anymore, but, you know, this man, when they used to preach, and they would have you go out and they'd drive a stake into the ground as an act of a covenant. And boy, I'll tell you, I'd have to get out a shovel or a pick and go back and look for some of those. And once I had a training program, you know, and after a night of prayer discussing this together, we sent those kids out. And it was an act of a covenant to take that rock and to throw it out there in that lake where it would remain forever, the covenant between me and God, that this day Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. You'll either have to get their scuba gear on or wait for a great drought and go looking for their stone to take it back. But it rests there as a memorial that Christ is Lord. And then that lordship has got to have some substance to it. And the third thing here, he is attempting to put Christ first in the following areas of his life. And this is what lordship is about, putting Christ over self. And the first one has to do with reputation. He has told his family that he's a Christian. And he prays, you know, before his meals in public places. He's not ashamed, you know, to be counted as a child of God. Doesn't have to stand up, you know, and pronounce the benediction, great booming voice. But, you know, very quietly, to be able to bow his head and to offer thanks for his food. And then in terms of his money and possessions, I have shared with him the scriptural teaching of stewardship, and he's giving at least 10%. A very tangible thing, self. Personality, mind, and body. He has made a real effort to overcome sin and weakness and is making progress. And you can see that in his life or her life. And he put the tick there. Friends, he has told his non-Christian friends he is a Christian and is willing to separate from those who lead him back into sin. Education. He seeks God's will through counsel. And he doesn't let his studies have priority over his daily walk with Christ. Then in dating, he has considered the scriptural teachings on the subject and sought counsel in the matter. He practices the biblical standard of moral conduct with the opposite sex. Marriage. He's working to have a scriptural home if he's married. Vocation. He does not let his vocation hinder his spiritual development or personal responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. Plans. He knows how to set objectives and is able to plan and schedule his priorities so that he is able to meet his objectives. Leisure time. He knows the value of planning leisure time and does it with the Lord rather than without him. When you can check all of those there, then you can come back to number 3 and write in a date in that far right-hand column and indicate that that area, he has now successfully met that. Then 4, he is consistent. He has a consistent daily devotion. We have discussed together the biblical concept of quiet time from the Bible study books, and that particularly is spelled out over in 2. I, the trainer, have had a minimum of 2 quiet times with the person. He has not missed more than 5 times in the last 30 days. The rule for error. I don't know why we didn't get appointment with God in there. I guess that was in that convert one. In 5, he is developing his prayer life. We have discussed together the principles of prayer from SCL 3. Well, that's the Bible study book. We have discussed the use of a prayer list, and he has one in use. He is presently experiencing answers to his prayers. 6, he has demonstrated faithfulness in his desire to learn and apply the Word of God through regular Bible study and scripture memory. He has completed lessons on Christian living, and then he has completed, you know, the, remember the lessons on Christian living is the going on with Christ and the 8 accompanying Bible studies that I gave you last week in that little follow-up packet. Okay, and then when he gets through those first 13 lessons, then what I want to do is to drop him in. He has completed SCL, or I don't have there, the DFD, which is the same Bible study book, but the Studies in Christian Living or the Designs for Discipleship. One of those two Bible studies, which carries us from book 1 to 6, and we'll say more about that in a moment when we come to the tools. He has completed going on with Christ. He has completed the topical memory system. Once he gets through those initial first 13 verses, then what we want to do is continue him on in his scripture memory, and we will get them started in memorizing the topical memory system. Then 7, he maintains a heart for witnessing, giving his testimony in the gospel regularly with increasing skill. I have shared with him the biblical concept of witnessing. He has completed how to share your testimony effectively and has shared his testimony in my presence. He can present the bridge illustration with skill. He has once in my presence presented the gospel and testimony to a non-Christian, and we have afterward evaluated the presentation. He has witnessed on his own initiative at least 3 times in the last 6 months. And when you've got that checked off, then you write the date in. Then in 8, he demonstrates a servant heart in his sincere interest in helping others. He understands the scriptural injunction of serving and is trying to build this area into his life. Secondly, he is willing to serve as there is need. 9, he attends church regularly, displaying love and unity. He attends church 3/4 of the time during the use of this checklist. So he's not just a spasmodic, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 times a year, but that you're getting him actively involved on a regular basis. 10, I have gone through the ETS materials on the basic, personal management, and evangelism. 11, he is a learner, open, and teachable. He is not argumentative and defensive when corrected by me. He is able to see the other man's point of view accepting and appreciating valid contributions. He is willing to share his life with me, not living behind a false veneer. I have a trainer and presently meeting with this potential disciple once a month for man-to-man time, not missing more than 1 month in four. And you may have that person involved in a structural where you're meeting on a weekly basis, but at least once a month, that casual time, the two of us being together is taking place. So you may not have a mini group that you may be meeting with a man-to-man once a week because there isn't anybody else to make a group with. And then 13, my immediate supervisor knows this man, has gone through this checklist with me and agrees that the man meets the requirements of the ETS disciple. And somebody else has just gone through this sheet, knows that person, and say, yes, I agree that that person is here. Now, let's go back to the tools. And if you want to pull out that other sheet that goes with this, follow-up tools for disciple on the second page, there's a tool needed for the follow-up guide. We'll go through that. Going on with Christ. They have five verses in the beginning with Christ under that convert, but now he's going on with Christ. There are eight more essential verses, abiding in Christ, obeying God's word, living by the Spirit of God, walking by faith, loving others, sharing in Christ's fellowship, being Christ's witness, giving with a generous heart. And then lessons on Christian living, where this person now goes through the accompanying Bible study books and looks at related passages of Scripture that are built around those eight verses. And then once we have completed lessons on Christian living, we go to Design for Discipleship, which has 1-6, or Studies in Christian Living. Now, there's a difference between those two books. The Design for Discipleship is what I would use for somebody who has a Christian background coming to Christ. But if you get somebody who knows absolutely nothing, is not churched, and has any understanding about Christianity, then your best set is probably the SCL. Because it's a very simple question and answer, both are question and answer, but one assumes that you have facts from which you can reason, the other does not. It is purely instructional. Now, these two sets of Bible studies are designed to lead a person to a deeper commitment to discipleship through an examination of Scripture. It establishes the individual in his personal walk with God. It produces a broad understanding of biblical Christian faith. It builds an in-depth understanding of foundational discipleship principles, and it assists the person in applying biblical truths into his daily life. The topical memory system. The person has gone through those first 13 verses. Now we want to get them involved in memorizing. There are 60 key verses built around the theme of discipleship. And I highly recommend that you get him into this structured program, because what happens, at home I've got four kids. You know what their favorite food is? Sweets. Candy. And so every piece they've got, you know, they're just sticking it in their mouths. And there's nothing wrong with a little carbohydrate, but it needs to be in balance with the other things. And the nice thing about the TMS, it's kind of the balance diet for that young Christian trying to become a disciple. It gives them a little meat. It gives them some potatoes. It gives them some vegetables. And along with that, it also gives a little dessert. But these are the kind of verses that will help him in his own personal walk with Christ, as well as equip him to be able to minister to other people. So the topical memory system, and of course, it keeps that person memorizing Scripture, which is the most effective thing that you can do to help that young Christian grow. Then, how to share your testimony. And that's the little booklet that we did on how to develop your own personal testimony so that you understand, you can plan it, write it, develop it, and polish it. And then equipping the saints, which is this lay training course which helps a person become a disciple of Jesus Christ, as well as to equip him with both the knowledge and the tools and the skills necessary to be able to go out and to win and disciple other people. And it has 9 sections: the basics of Christian living, personal and spiritual management, how to do personal evangelism, personal discipleship, Christian leadership, how to do basic follow-up, character development, a survey of the Bible, and advanced follow-up. And of course, in this one, you try and get him through those first 3 sections. Now, to get through this little guide is going to take you somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 8 months, perhaps up to a year, and maybe even longer. So this isn't a kind of an overnight thing. But these are the tools and the little guide. And the guide, again, gives you a great deal of structure because you are trying to accomplish all of these various goals. And by using these materials, you've got that hand going for them. He's making Christ the center. He is becoming that obedient Christian trying to live the balanced Christian life. And again, this is just a tool. It's a guide. And if you got something better, I commend you to it. If you don't, then I certainly commend you to this. And if you are working on these things, using those tools, I think they will get the job done for you. But again, follow-up is done by someone and not something, though someone has got to use something. And I am recommending this something to you.